With MSO News Sports, I'm Rick Moore, and I'm in the office of Dr. Crystal Demain on the campus of Endicott College. And Dr. Demain, first of all, what is your title? Creative? Give me the thing before I mess it up.
Associate Professor of Creative Arts Therapy.
All right. We're going to go backwards here. We're going to start at the top and then work our way backwards. What is Creative Arts Therapy?
Sure. Creative arts therapy is an umbrella term for a profession that includes a variety of different professions that include the use of the arts and therapy. So this is music therapy, art therapy, dance therapy, therapeutic writing, mm-hmm. and drama therapy. And each one of these is its own individual profession with certification boards and conferences to attend and things like this.
It sounds like it covers such a broad scope, just the word therapy itself, and I'm guessing it does in terms of what your students can go on and do from here. Can you give me an example of what a student might do in terms of either music therapy or whatever it might be, art therapy?
Sure. Well, here at Endicott College, we only offer this bachelor's degree, and so one generally needs a master's degree in order to become licensed, mm-hmm. except for in the field of music therapy, which you can practice at a bachelor's level. But Endicott does not offer that at this time right now. So generally, our students will go on to graduate school within the field of the arts therapies, maybe expressive arts therapy or art therapy. And some students go and will start it will open a studio and use the arts to have open studios with people. Some students get involved in just studio art work and might open or work at a gallery or work at a school and bring the arts to the school without going into clinical therapeutic work.
If we have any high school kids who tune in, and I don't know that any of our hockey players would be listening to this interview, but they might, what kind of things would kids in high school be interested in order to look into this? What would draw them to this?
Sure. If a person who's in high school has sincere interest in helping people and using the arts and creating connections with people through the arts, this might be a mm-hmm. great field to look into.
Okay. All right, let's go backwards. You have a presentation coming up with Becca Keneally on Friday that fascinated me when Joanne Waldner sent me the press release, and we're going to post that also up on the website. So we're going to go backwards before we get to that, and tell us a little bit about your background, you know, how you got here to Endicott College and the road that took you here. And I know in our pregame warm-up we talked about Rockport High School.
Yes, sure. So I graduated Rockport High School in 1996, and from there went to study at Berklee College of Music, where I earned a degree in music therapy and built a private practice based on that bachelor's degree, and then went on and got a master's in counseling psychology, and then a PhD in expressive arts therapy, and then became a registered expressive arts therapist. And so that really brought developed my interest in integrating all of the arts and therapy and focusing research on undergraduate pedagogy in all of the arts, mm-hmm. using all the arts and therapy, as well as with clients and exploring the use of this across the world. And this is what led me to my presentation.
I have so many questions to ask before we even get to that. But did you have a specialty in music at all when you went to Berklee?
Sure, yeah. Berklee only offers a Bachelor of Music degree. But now at this point, well, when I was there, it was only a bachelor's. Now they offer Master's in Music in a couple of different areas mm-hmm. of study. I was there with everybody else earning a Bachelor of Music, and my major was music therapy.
Okay, and were you a singer, a composer, a writer? What drew you there in the first place?
I was a flute player.
Okay.
Yeah,
there you
and
go.
So in Rockport, I played flute in the school system, and I played flute with my dad's band, and I played flute with the Rockport Community Legion Band.
Was your dad's band a rock band?
That's right, yes.
All right.
Yep.
All right. I'm a fan of the Moody Blues, and they got a major flute player on all their stuff. Okay, so let's go forward now. And Joanne Waldner mentioned in her press release that you took a recent trip to China, I believe, in related to your field and your presentation. So tell me about that.
Sure. In October, I went with a couple of my colleagues to present at the International Expressive Arts Therapy Conference in Hong Kong. This conference is biannual, so it happens every 2 years, and this was the 11th conference of its kind and the first one in Asia. This is my second time traveling to Asia to present at a conference related to this field, and my first time going to Hong Kong.
Mm-hmm. What other things were at that conference? Did you go over and take notes also and go to other exhibits and presentations?
Sure. I went as a participant and also as a presenter. Some of the things that were presented at this conference were quite diverse. It was an expressive arts therapy conference, so people were coming in and sharing the use of the arts in all different forms. So our keynote speaker, Daria Halperin, who is a dance therapist, had us, the whole group of 400 attendees, moving and giving aesthetic feedback to
all
her
right.
movement. Yeah, and then a variety of different workshops that focused on everything from neuroscience and the arts therapies to more existential perspectives mm-hmm. and some theoretical perspectives in the field.
I thought math was tough, but whoa, my head is spinning with this stuff. Is technology involved in any way?
Sure. There's technology used in terms of creating adaptive equipment for working with individuals with different types mm-hmm. of needs, in creating different visual art forms, musical art forms, and other art forms as well.
Oh, my goodness. So what will you be doing on Friday? What will you be showing or telling? Mm-hmm. Obviously, don't give the whole thing away now, but a quick summary.
Sure. I'll be talking about traveling to Hong Kong, a little bit of the Hong Kong culture, how that differed from my experiences in mainland China, and also traditional Chinese medicine and its Eastern roots plays a really deep and true role in the field of the Western approach to the arts and therapy.
How did you first understand or get involved in art therapy? Where did that come from for you? How did you see this as a possibility for a life's work for you, and that that it's really important?
Sure. When I was in high school, I had a sincere interest in art and music and photography, and I was also interested in helping people, and so I thought about nursing, and I thought about being an art teacher, and I thought about being a music teacher, and then I went to my high school guidance office and looked in the Peterson's Guide of Professions and stumbled upon music therapy, and I said, wow, this exists. I can't believe this
mm-hmm.
exists. And
oh,
so
wow.
I went for it.
Excellent. That's a great story. I always tell my kids, if you can find something that you love to do that also fits your talent, you've got it made, because that's what it's all about. You know, I've heard of animal therapy. I've seen, living in Essex for a time, I've seen challenged people come over and ride horses and things like that. The arts play a role in maybe, I'm thinking cognitive awareness, quieting people down, getting the senses, whatever it might be, but is it also something that can be long-lasting? They can take it back after a session in art therapy. The idea would be to take it back and continue with your life and integrate that and help you progress?
I would say that's a goal for many people, and therapy can occur short-term or long-term. Mm-hmm. There were people who were clients of Freud, the father of psychology, mm-hmm. who were in therapy on Freud's couch for years and years and years and years as his analyst. So, the goal is for people to gain insight into their own personal lives, to gain skills, and some of the skill areas that I commonly look at are development and communication abilities, cognitive abilities, motor skills, maybe in some cases, social skills, connecting with others, emotional skills, and creative enhancement.
I had a class teaching teachers that was about astronomy, and it was no science requirement. But I had a photography teacher in that class, and she did one thing, and I'm just wondering if this is analogous or parallel to what you do. She brought in a photograph that she gave to all of us I think it was about a wave crashing in the sea. And it was a beautiful photograph. She said, but think about the fact that this is two-dimensional. You can't get the feel of the breeze. You can't taste the salt air. You can't get the feeling of the humidity or whatever it might be in this two-dimensional photograph. And so she made us actually go into that photograph. So I'm guessing that that kind of thing extended and expanded is what you do.
Mm-hmm. Sure. We come in looking at these arts approaches as a multi-sensory experience in order to engage all of the senses, in order to engage the whole self. And I come from a background in neurology and also in a wellness model. So looking at things holistically and engaging the social self, the cognitive self, the mind, body, spirit, you could use that language, the id, ego, super ego, or the biopsychosocial whole self is part of this engagement. And do you think about, one might think about playing music or looking at this wave image that you mentioned, and, we are engaging sight, we're engaging our visual, we're engaging our auditory, our tactile, our olfactory, and this proprioceptive sense and this vestibular, this whole body engagement, this motor engagement. So this engages the whole brain and engages the whole body.
Fantastic, fantastic. All right, I guess my final question would be, is there a relationship in the practice? I know that you're not in a practice now, you're teaching, and in the practice, is there a relationship with, I don't know, personal care physicians, with psychologists or otherwise, that patients could be referred to this kind of therapy?
Sure. There is a lot of co-treatment that occurs. There are some centers where somebody might get a referral to an art therapist or a music therapist. Similarly, in these fields of arts and therapy, we might do a co-treat with a physical therapist, occupational speech therapist. There can be treatment teams if you go work in a school, if one works in a school system with a teacher, a school psychologist, maybe a school adjustment counselor, a psychiatrist. So there's team models and referrals and these connections as well.
I lied. That wasn't my final question. I got one more.
Sure.
You're talking to high school kids now. You're going into a high school. Let's go into Rockport High School, and you're going to tell them who you are, where you're from, the great success story that you have. And I know there are a number of kids there who are okay academically, but they're artistically inclined, and there's nothing there. They don't know about this. So what do you tell them?
I say keep honing your art skills, because that is what is core to this field. You need being able to access the arts to move through you without ego, to help people. So working on those skills, and then cultivating the idea of using the arts with other people by going and maybe doing an internship or community service work with different populations of people that might be in need of different whatever human needs exist in life, and we all have different needs. So exposing yourself to working with people in these areas and keeping your art skills.
And maybe check out the Endicott College catalog.
Check it out.
Dr. Demain, thank you. That is Dr. Demain at Endicott College, and I'm just overwhelmed here. This is MSONewsSports.com.